Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1. Microphone is not on. Not on. Canto 1, Chapter 9, Chapter entitled The Passing of Way of Bhishma Dev, text number 47. Tushtuvur Munayo Vrishta Krishnam Tadguya Namabi Tadaste Krishna Hridaya Swashraman Prayayu Puna Tushtuvura Muniyo Hrishta Krishnam Tadguya Namabi Tataste Krishna Hridaya Swashraman Prayayu Puna Tushtuvura Muniyo Hrishta Krishnam Tadguya Namabi Tataste Krishna Hridaya Swashraman Prayayu Puna Tushtuvu Satisfied Munaya The great sages, headed by Vyasadev, etc. Krishna, all in a happy mood. Krishnam, unto Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Tat, his. Guya, confidential. Namabhi, by his holy name, etc. Tata, thereafter. Te, they. Krishna, Hridaya, persons who always bear Lord Krishna in their hearts. Swa-ashramam, to their respective hermitages. Prayayu, returned. Mpuna, again. Translation and purport of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. All the great sages then glorified Lord Sri Krishna, who was present there, by confidential Vedic hymns. Then all of them returned to their respective hermitages, bearing always Lord Krishna within their hearts. Translation responsibly. All the great sages then glorified Lord Sri Krishna.
All the great sages then glorified Lord Sri Krishna.
Who was present there?
Who was present there?
By confidential Vedic hymns.
By confidential Vedic hymns.
Then all of them returned to their respective hermitages.
Then all of them returned to their respective hermitages.
Bearing always Lord Krishna within their hearts.
Bearing always Lord Krishna within their hearts.
Report. The devotees of the Lord are always in the heart of the Lord, and the Lord is always in the hearts of the devotees. That is the sweet relation between the Lord and his devotees. Due to unalloyed love and devotion for the Lord, the devotees always see him within themselves, and the Lord also, although he has nothing to do and nothing to aspire to, is always busy in attending to the welfare of his devotees. For the ordinary living beings, the law of nature is there for all actions and reactions, but he is always anxious to put his devotees on the right path. The devotees, therefore, are under the direct care of the Lord, and the Lord also voluntarily puts himself under the care of his devotees only. So all the sages headed by Vyasadeva were devotees of the Lord. And therefore they chanted the Vedic hymns after the funeral ceremony just to please the Lord, who was present there personally. All the Vedic hymns are chanted to please Lord Krishna. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 15.15. All the Vedas, Upanishads, Vedanta, etc. are seeking him only. And all the hymns are for glorifying him only. The sages therefore performed the exact act suitable for the purpose, and they happily departed for their respective hermitages. Omigyan timalandasya ginanjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamaya dadati svabhadantikam vancha kaupatrubhyascha kripa sindhu yevacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare So, as the chapter has unveiled, we see that Bhishma has passed away from this material world, and it was only Bhishma who could fully satisfy and pacify the mind of Yudhishthira Maharaj. And this is one of the purports of the Bhagavatam, as we've said previously, that the first time you see Krishna in the Bhagavatam is where? Chapter 7 of? In which canto? First canto, chapter 7. Then you'll see the first time Krishna appears personally in the Bhagavatam, then Krishna is driving the chariot of Arjuna. So he's Bhakta Vatsala. And actually, of all of Krishna's qualities, that is his all-pervading or all-conquering or most perfect or most wonderful quality, is that Krishna is the Bhakta Vatsala, which means he's the protector of the devotee. So Krishna says within the Bhagavad Gita, he says to Arjuna, declare it boldly, Arjuna, that my devotees shall never perish. And when Krishna says that, the Acharya say, Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur says, Krishna's eyes become very wide. And he actually has anger in his eyes at the time. He says, declare it boldly, Arjuna, my devotee will never perish. In other words, if there's something obstructing one of Krishna's devotees, Krishna becomes very powerful in removing that obstacle. If a devotee is trying to get to Krishna sincerely, but he is finding it's difficult to get to Krishna, then Krishna, he becomes very angry at that obstacle, and he removes that obstacle, so that the devotee can come to him in an unimpeded fashion. So Krishna, his most endearing quality, his most wonderful quality, is that he is always protecting his devotees. He is the lover of his devotees. And actually, you'll see, as Prabhupada explains, that his most confidential names are in relationship to his devotees. Sachi Nandana, Yashoda Nandana, Nanda Nandana. Like that. These are names which means that he is connected with his devotees. So that is his consciousness. Krishna is always conscious of the devotee, and the devotee is always conscious of him. So it is not just a one-way relationship or a one-sided relationship. It's not that the devotee is always thinking of Krishna and Krishna is not thinking of the devotees, but Krishna is thinking of the devotees constantly. So Krishna's all-pervasive or all-powerful nature, because Krishna is known as Sarvagya. Sarvagya means all-knowing, simultaneously. So he's conscious of each one of us simultaneously, which is incredible. You know, who is so powerful to be conscious of everyone simultaneously? No, like, usually we're conscious of one person simultaneously, or one person at a time. Or sometimes we may become conscious of many people, or we may be conscious of a group, or conscious of a country, or something. But Krishna is conscious of everyone simultaneously. And he is connected to them according to their reciprocation with him. Yayata mam prapajyante tamstataiva vajamyaham. Krishna says, as you surrender to me, I reward you accordingly. So if you are inimical to Krishna, then Krishna is indifferent to you. If you are inimical, just like you see with the demons, they're inimical to Krishna. So Krishna is indifferent to them. Just like there was what that one demon in the 10th canto in the Krishna book, near the end, that's in the later portion when Krishna goes to Dwarka, he becomes the king of Dwarka. I think it was Pondraka. He wrote a letter to Krishna. Was that Pondraka? Well, so Pondraka writes a letter to Krishna and he says, why don't you come down here to where I'm living, to my city? You come from Dwarka down to me, you know, which is not the right attitude. You know, you don't say to Radha Ballabha, you know, come over here. You know, Govinda, just please come here for a minute. You don't say like that. You go to them, right? That's the attitude. That's the devotee's mentality. He said, you just come down here and then we'll work out who the real Vishnu is. Who is actually God? We'll work it out. Because you say you're the one, everyone's saying you're Vishnu, but actually it's me, and I think we should work it out. So why don't you come down and we'll work this whole situation out. So Krishna writes a letter back, and Prabhupada points out that real heroes, they don't talk. They prove their prowess by action. So a real hero, and Prabhupada actually says, if you go to the 4th canto, is it 4th canto? I think, yeah, 4th canto. In the 4th canto, in the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, Prabhupada said he expects all the devotees to become heroes. We have to become heroes in Krishna consciousness. Which sometimes, you know, we think, oh my God. You know, I'm supposed to be a hero. I'm supposed to save Earth on behalf of Krishna. This is the duty that we've been given. This is the responsibility we've been given by Srila Prabhupada and by Krishna himself. They expect us to save the Earth. We're meant to become heroes in Krishna consciousness. One time Prabhupada said, we want Arjuna or we want no one. In other words, the devotees should be like Arjuna, like Hanuman. Prabhupada said like that. This should be what the devotees are like. They should be heroes. They should save people from this dark material world, from Kali Yuga. Prabhupada was a hero. Sometimes we read about Prabhupada, or we hear about Prabhupada, and we think that it was just like, okay, Prabhupada was a pure devotee, so it was all easy. You know, Prabhupada was just going around the world and just spreading Krishna consciousness, and everywhere he walked, everyone just became devotees and like that. In one sense, that is true. But if you actually hear the pastimes of Prabhupada, because I'm listening, I'm studying Prabhupada through Harisari Prabhu at the moment, then actually it was a struggle the whole time. The devotees were always fighting. There were always problems in the movement. Prabhupada was constantly dealing with problems. His own health was constantly giving him problems. His body was constantly giving him problems, constantly. Harisari Prabhu said he was with him for 18 months, you know, but from, you know, when Prabhupada came to the West all the way until he left, like those 12 years, Prabhupada's body was just constant. Harisari Prabhu said there was never a time when his body was not giving him a problem. If it wasn't this, it was that. If it wasn't that, it was that. It was just always there was something. And Prabhupada would just say, that's the material body. Prabhupada just said, that is the material body. It is always going to give you a problem. He was struggling continuously. Prabhupada was always going through great difficulties. There was problems in the movement. There was problems with his body. He had to travel continuously. He had to write his books. He was doing so much like that. But he expected all of us to follow suit. He expected us all of us to follow his example. He expected all of us to be like him, like Arjuna. Great heroes, great warriors to spread this movement. And you have to have that attitude as a devotee. Actually, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, a devotee is like a kshatriya. Just like a Kshatriya is on the battlefield, he's getting shot with arrows. So what does he do? Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says he just rips the arrow out and he keeps fighting. Right? And then another arrow hits him. He just rips it out and he keeps fighting. Yeah? Is that all you've got? Can't you hit me with something else? Another arrow hits him. He pulls it out. Come on. Let's fight. And he just continues. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says a devotee has to be like that. A devotee has to be like a Kshatriya. When a Kshatriya is fighting, he's unstoppable. The only thing that stops him is death. Right? Otherwise, he just keeps going forward, going forward, going forward. That's the Kshatriya's mood. Yeah. And if he dies, he dies, so be it. But his spirit is just keep going. And devotee, we have to be like that. As devotees, you have to have that spirit. I'm just going to keep going, I'm just going to keep going. Maya just keeps hitting me, like that. Rip it out and just keep going. Okay, Maya hits me again. Okay, fine. Rip it out and just keep going. That's the spirit of the devotees. You have to be like that. So Prabhupada was like that. And Prabhupada said, we want Arjuna or we want no one. So Krishna, when he was speaking to Pondraka, he wrote to him and he said to Pondraka, real heroes, they don't speak. They show their prowess by actions. So I'll come down there and we'll talk. I'm not going to come down there and, I'm not going to have like a whole verbal debate with you. I'll come down there and then we'll work this out once and for all. Who is actually God? And Krishna said to him, he said, there's a black snake called Krishna. And he's about to come down there and he's about to crawl down your hole and eat the frog called Pondraka. And he said, you're just sitting in your hole just making noise. And I'm just about to come down there and just go into your hole and eat you like that. So that was Krishna's spirit. So then Krishna goes down to wherever Pondraka was living. And then Krishna was outside the city waiting for him to come out to fight with him. And then Pondraka comes out and he had some extra arms attached, like his forearm Vishnu. like the forearms, like the other forearms, the other two arms are attached. So Krishna just smiled. He thought, here's another one. So then Krishna decapitated him, right? Took his head off. And then he got the head. I can't remember how he did it. Did he hit his head and then the head flew into the city, or did he throw it over the wall? I can't remember how he did it. But somehow he got the head and he threw it over the wall of the city and the head rolled into the city and then everyone saw the head and I thought, oh my God, the king's head, Pondraka's head. So this is Krishna. Krishna, he doesn't mess around when it comes to the demons. So when Krishna sees the demons are within the heart of the devotee, because in Kali Yuga, you don't have to worry about the external demons. You do. We have to worry about the external demons because they're there. There's always people trying to stop the Hare Krishna movement. There's always people trying to give problems to the Hare Krishna movement. Not so much in Australia, but in many places. But the real demons are the demons in the heart. So therefore, Krishna, when he sees the devotees are struggling with their demons, with their material desires, then he enters the heart and he destroys those demons. He removes those obstacles. If you are sincere, if you're trying to get to him, but you find there's difficulty or there's obstructions, then Krishna will remove those obstructions. So this is described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Chaitanya Shikshamrita, and there's another book as well. I just can't remember which one it is, but might be Jiva Dharma. But in Chaitanya Shikshamrita, it describes that each of the demons, because you see, if you read the Krishna book, probably half the chapters is just Krishna killing demons. Krishna kills Pralamba, Krishna kills Keshi, Krishna kills Arista, Krishna kills Dunuka. Right? Krishna kills, and it just goes on at Kaliya, it just goes on and on and on like that. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that each demon represents a particular anatta. So you have particular anattas in your heart. And Krishna, then, when you read each pastime, if you meditate on the particular quality or the particular anatta which that represents, you can meditate and you can pray to Krishna, please destroy this. This particular quality which is in my heart that this demon represents. So it is described that just like if you go to the Mayapur, In Mayapur, you'll see at the temples, the Gaudiya Math temples, you'll see outside the temples, quite often on the front gate, there's a huge lion, and the lion is attacking and eating an elephant. Have you seen that? Has anyone been to Mayapur? Has anyone been to India? Like that? Have you seen it? You haven't seen it? Has anyone seen it? Please put your hand up if anyone's seen it.
I think so.
You? Okay, you think so. You know what I'm talking about, right? Okay. So, okay, for those who haven't noticed it, if you go to Mayapur, then you can't miss it. You just go to any Gaudiya Math temple, usually on the front gate. As you go in the front gate, on the top there's a huge lion, and the lion's killing an elephant quite often. There's an elephant and the lion's attacking like that. So what does that represent? Because we're meant to be from a peaceful religion. You know, some people, they become confused. Our religion's supposed to be all peaceful and everything. Just like I remember one time I was preaching many years ago at the Sunday feast, and then I took someone, one of the guests, up to the shop, and you walk in the shop and the Sringade is ripping open a demon. You know, it's like that. So then he says, so what's this movement actually about? You know, what do you actually worship? You know, what is your actually... So it describes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Chaitanya is like a lion. Krishna is also described to be like a lion. Lion-like. Lord Chaitanya's physique is like a lion. His chest is very broad. His waist is very slender. Right? And his legs are very powerful, just like a lion. So, Lord Chaitanya is described to be like a lion. And the anattas, or the material desires in our hearts, are described to be like elephants. And Lord Chaitanya, when he roars within your heart, those elephants will flee. All those material anattas, they will flee, they will disappear. They will run in fear of Lord Chaitanya. So this, when you go to the gates of the Gaudiya Math and you see the lion attacking the elephant is like a material desire. Sometimes we feel like our material desires are like elephants within our heart. We feel like these huge, immovable obstacles. Like if you ever tried to move an elephant, if you go to where an elephant is and you start pushing him, you know, come on, move. Like that. If he doesn't want to move, that's it. He won't move. So sometimes we feel our material desires like that. We're trying to get the material desires out of our heart, but we feel like it's like an elephant. Does anyone know what I'm talking about here tonight? Sometimes it's like an elephant. You just feel like you can't move it. It's true. But then when Lord Chaitanya enters the heart, when Krishna enters the heart and he roars, that elephant will just flee. So when Krishna sees that the devotee is struggling, then he will, if the devotee is trying to get to him, but there are obstacles, there are elephants and there are mountains, and there's so many difficulties which he has to pass through, then Krishna, he will enter the heart and he will remove those obstacles again and again. Because Krishna and his devotees are extremely intimate. Krishna is always thinking of the devotee. Right? Krishna is always thinking of you. Right? Every moment of the day, Krishna is thinking of you. Right? He's thinking of each one of us simultaneously, constantly. Right? And how do we reciprocate? We forget him. Right? That's our reciprocation. Right? So it's not really even at the moment. Whereas the pure devotees, like Prabhupada once said, I never remember a time where I forgot Krishna. So when you're always thinking of Krishna, then you can fully reciprocate with Krishna. But if we constantly forget Krishna, then you know it's a limited relationship. So we have to increase our remembrance of Krishna. So how do we increase the remembrance of Krishna? That's called sadhana bhakti. You get up in the morning, you go to Mangalati, right? And then you follow the morning program. And by 8:30 in the morning, if you go, like we said a couple of weeks ago, if you just follow the program between 4:30 and 8:30 every morning, then you'll remember Krishna. How can you forget Krishna? How do you forget him? Right? Mangalati, he's there. Right? The curtain's open and he's there. Right? And then you chant his name for 2 hours practically. Right? And then you come back and he's there again. Right? And then you hear about him in the Bhagavatam. So you should be becoming Krishna. If you're strict in your sadhana, you should be becoming Krishna conscious. If you're slack in your sadhana, then you'll forget Krishna. It'll be hard for you to remember Krishna. That's the point of the morning program. Right? The point of the morning program is to inoculate us, Prabhupada says. When you go out into the material energy, out into the material world is a contaminated atmosphere. So Prabhupada says the morning program is an inoculation. It's a way of purifying the consciousness and absorbing ourselves in Krishna so that when we go out into the material world, we don't become so affected by it. We don't get the disease. Because normally if you go into a diseased area, you get the disease. But if you are following strictly your sadhana, then the disease will not affect you so much. And then Prabhupada says once a year, you should go to the holy dham. And you should take bath in the Ganges and purify yourself in the holy dham. And then fully get rid of the disease as much as you can. And then come back again into the material world and do more preaching for another year. That's Prabhupada's system that he set up in ISKCON. So we see here that Krishna and the devotees are always with each other. Krishna is always conscious of the devotees. Now one question arises is why is it the devotees go through so much difficulty? Prabhupada points this out in the Krishna book also. He makes this comment. The devotees of Lord Shiva are seen to be very wealthy, and the devotees of Lord Krishna are said to be very poor. So how come we get all the problems? How come we get all the difficulties? Why is that? Why is it so difficult for devotees? Why do we have to struggle so much? Why are our lives full of so many challenges and miseries? Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you feel like that? Do you feel the material world is challenging? Hands up if you feel the material world is challenging. Okay. I don't think most of you are old enough yet. You're all still under 30, I think, most of you. Or around 30. You get to your 40s and then it really starts kicking in. The material energy shows their real nature. Up until about 35, I was quite a positive person in this material world. I was quite positive. I really had a lot of faith in this material world. Until I was about 35 and then suddenly it's just like the last 7 years or so, it's just deteriorates daily like that. You're not old enough yet, because I'm looking at you and you're not really looking at me. You don't really understand what I'm talking about. I was having a darshan with Guru Jampaguru in Vrindavan. This is like about 20 years ago, and he said something like when Krishna really tests you. And I was just looking at him just smiling. I was only like 24 or something at the time, and I was just looking at him smiling, and he said Krishna hasn't done it to you yet. I didn't actually know what he's talking about. So anyway, just stay tuned. The material energy has some special mercy, which he will give you. It's coming. Just a matter of time. But you will get it. Don't worry. It's all waiting like that. So the material energy is like that. So the question is, why is it the devotees go through the difficulties? Right, that. Burajampur actually said to me one time... He said the reasons, because we were talking about this, because I suppose I was a bit older, and then I could I was actually. It was probably only about 5 years ago, something, we're having this talk, and then now we can relate. When we talk, we can actually relate. Back when I was young, I couldn't actually relate to what he was talking about because I hadn't experienced it. But so then I was speaking with him a few years ago, and he said the reason the devotees get so much difficulty or so many tests, especially the ISKCON devotees, is because we're aiming for Goloka Vrindavan. That is what Lord Chaitanya is giving us. He's giving us Goloka. But in order to get to Goloka, you have to go through intense purification. Because Vrindavan is an intense place. Vrindavan is intense. When you get back to the spiritual world, it's very intense. The emotions between Krishna and the other devotees are very intense. Everyone's constantly crying, and then they're all happy again, and then they're crying again, and then they're happy again, and there's separation, and there's union, vipralamba, sambhoga. It's constant. Like Krishna just churns everything constantly. Constantly. When the gopis can't be with Krishna, they feel like every moment is 12 years or more. Right? That's intense. Right? If you're not with Krishna, then how do you feel?
Sleepy.
Yeah, sleepy, or somehow we cope. We take shelter of the material world, right? But for the gopis, right, if they can't be with Krishna just for one moment, right, they feel it's like 12 years or more. That's intense. So the spiritual world is incredibly intense, right? So in order to qualify ourselves or to purify ourselves to go there, Krishna will put us through intense purification. And actually, I was in Sydney about 10 years ago. It was the last time my spiritual master came to Australia, and he was giving class in Sydney, and His Holiness Indrajumna Swami was there, and Tamal Krishnamurti was giving class, and Indrajumna Swami, at the end of the class, he said to Tamal Krishnamurti, he said, "Is it possible to become purified and to go back to Godhead without going through intense purification in this material world?" And Tamal Krishnamurti said, "No, it's not. It's not possible." And if you look at Indrajumna Swami, he's been through intense purification. Like, intense things have happened. You read his diary, like, every chapter is like intense. You know, just like one thing after another thing after another thing. And you look at Tamal Krishnamurti, you know, he went through so much intense purification near the end. So Krishna will do this to us. He'll make it intense. Why? Because he wants to purify our heart. So that's why the devotees go through all these intense purification. Now, why is it that Krishna does that even to his liberated devotees or his eternal Nityaparikars? Just like the Pandavas. If you look at the Pandavas' life is extremely intense. Look at Draupadi's life. Right? Look at Kunti's life. Right? Look at the Pandavas' life. It's extremely intense. Now the question is, why does Krishna do it to them? They're his eternal associates. Wherever Krishna goes in the material world, the Pandavas go with him. Right? Wherever Krishna has left this universe, now he's in another universe. Right? So the Pandavas have all gone with him to assist him. They assist him wherever he goes. So why does he put them through so much intense purification? Right? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, in order to set an example for us, so we will become inspired. Okay, they're going through so much difficulty, so let me also follow their example. They remain Krishna conscious, let me also remain Krishna conscious. Let me also follow their example and do what they did. Because they're going through so much, but they never forgot Krishna. And they went through far more than what we go through. What happened to the Pandavas? They had to go to the forest for how long? 14 years, right? Imagine if you had to go to the forest for 14 years. Right? It doesn't mean you can take a tent. Right? It doesn't mean you get mobile reception. Right? They went to the forest means they went to the forest, right? It's a little different in India because the weather was warm a lot of the time. Northern India is also cold, but the weather was warm. And there's a lot of fruit trees, especially back then, growing everywhere, so there were things to eat. But you have to understand that in the forest, there were tigers, there were lions, you know, these things. Bhima used to kill tigers and lions all the time. All the time. Like, tigers and lions would constantly be around. He'd kill them all the time. Because he'd make the forest peaceful, so the sages could meditate in the forest. You know, you go to the sages and the lions and the tigers sometimes come and eat the sages. So Bhima would kill them to protect the sages. So when the pure devotee or the advanced devotee goes through a difficulty, it's to set an example for us. And we see in Prabhupada's life, there were so many challenges, there were so many difficulties, and Prabhupada just remained Krishna conscious. He never became disheartened, even in the greatest difficulties. So actually, we really don't have any reason to complain as devotees. Sometimes the devotees complain a lot. You know, sometimes, you know, they complain, oh, this happened and that happened and this happened. But actually, we don't have so much to complain about. Our lives are actually quite good. We live in the palace of the king. You know, look where we live. It's quite a beautiful place, isn't it? Look at the food that we eat. Well, it's quite opulent, isn't it? Look at our lifestyle is perfect. Prabhupada once said that even if Krishna is not God, still, to be a devotee is better than being a non-devotee. Because our life is better. Even if Krishna is not God. And He is God, so that's an advantage. That's an extra. Krishna is God, so it's wonderful. Everything is perfect for us. So we should always be enthusiastic as devotees, and we should always be thankful for everything that we've gotten. And as it says here at the end of the purport, the sages, after they performed this funeral ceremony for Bhishma, they chanted Vedic mantras to glorify Krishna, and then they happily departed for their hermitages. So actually, Srila Prabhupada said the devotees should be happy. He said, "I'm turning the hippies into happies." Everyone should become happy as a devotee. That's actually Prabhupada's desire. Devotees should be happy. Prabhupada said one time, he said, do not lose your enthusiasm. There's a famous letter. It used to be up in the reception. Is it still there? Like that. Everyone should go to the reception and read this. There's a very wonderful letter by Prabhupada, which is up in the reception. And Prabhupada says, do not lose your enthusiasm. He says, just be happy in Krishna consciousness. He said, even if you only preach to one person a day, he said, that is enough. Prabhupada said, I'm just creating these big, big projects to keep all of you engaged. But he said, do not lose your enthusiasm. Don't work so hard that you lose your enthusiasm. Right? Keep your enthusiasm. Don't work so hard that you lose it. Prabhupada said, I'm just giving you these things, just to keep you engaged. Just like this particular temple, it's quite intense. Does anyone experience that? Hands up if you know what I'm talking about. Some of you, that's good. So, I've been in this temple for a couple of decades, and I wouldn't go to another temple. I like it when it's intense. Right? It's my nature. Yeah, I prefer it that way. I've been to other temples, and they're not as intense. I don't feel the flavour is there as much. So, it is intense like that. It should not become so intense that we lose our enthusiasm, or we lose our health, or difficulties arise like that. It should not become so intense. But it should be intense so that we become fully engaged. And actually, Prabhupada said one time that we should go to the place where they're selling Krishna anxiety, and we should buy as much of it as possible. Anxiety for Krishna. Do you sometimes have anxiety for Krishna? When I joined this movement, I thought I was going to be peaceful. I thought I'd got rid of my anxiety. I walked in here, the first day I came to the temple, I walked in here with one devotee. He brought me into the temple. I was amazed. I walked in, I thought, wow, like that. And Jagannath Balabhapur was sitting over there, just on the step, just over there reading, because it was in between the digis were having the Raj Bowl, so it was before the Aarti. He was sitting there, and I looked at him, and I thought, that's exactly what I want. I just want to be peaceful like this. I just want to sit there and just read the books. And I thought, this is so nice. So I joined. 1 week later, I joined. And I haven't been peaceful since. It's just a trick. They just put devotees in the corner when you walk in. So that you'll be all enthused, like, yeah, that's what I want to be. I haven't been peaceful since. And then I joined in, and then the second or third day after I joined, they sent me to Crossways. And that was it. I wasn't peaceful at all. For 2 months, I worked in Crossways. You know, every day for 2 months. Not every day, but 5 days a week. And then Saturday, I can't remember what we did on Saturday. I think we used to do Harinams on Saturday, maybe. I can't remember. Then Sunday, we used to go and help with the Sunday feast. So it was just like full engagement like that. So I haven't been peaceful since, you know. Been years since I've been peaceful, but actually the devotee he is satisfied in that situation. I actually said to my spiritual master one time, because Annie Rudaprabhu had recommended me to get Brahman initiation in 1993, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj didn't want it wasn't 93, it was 91, so he'd recommended me to get Brahman initiation, but Tamal Krishna Maharaj didn't want to give it to me. He wanted me to wait, you know, to become more qualified before he'd give me Brahman initiation. So I was up in his room after Mangalati. It was quite intense, because my spiritual master was quite an intense devotee. So I was up there with him. He said, so why do you want this so much? And I said to him, actually, I didn't want it so much. I just thought, you know, Annie really preferred recommended me, so I thought it was just what you do, like that. I wasn't like, but he was just, he was questioning me. He was questioning my motives. So I said, why do you want this so much? Why do you want Brahman initiation? And I said, so I can be peaceful. You know, because I thought, you know, Brahmana means you're peaceful. It's one of the qualities of a Brahmana is to be peaceful. It's in the Bhagavad Gita, quality of the Brahmana is to be peaceful. So I said, to be peaceful. And he just looked at me. And he said, do you think Arjuna was peaceful on the battlefield of Kurukshetra? See, our movement's not about peace. Our movement is about surrender. It's not about peace. Peace is a byproduct. Devotees are naturally peaceful, but peace is a byproduct of devotion. We don't look for it automatically. It's like in the Bhagavad Gita, one of the qualities of the devotees is shanta. Shanta means
peaceful,
saintly, like that. So one time, this is going back in the 1970s, when the Radha Damodar bus party was there, and then they were distributing books, and one of the devotees was out very late at night, and he was dressed up in a Santa Claus like outfit. The devotee was distributing books, it was just before Christmas, so he's dressed up like Santa Claus with the suit and he had the hat and he's distributing Prabhupada's books. So then one man, it was late at night, one man came out of the bar, out of the hotel, the pub, and they're in the car park, and he said, you know, he's giving him the book, and he said, you know, there's a book about this. And the guy was a little drunk. He said, "You're not a Santa. You're not a Santa." And he pulled out a gun. And he held the gun and he said to the devotee, he said, "You're not a Santa." And he became angry. And he's like a Texan in Texas. They're quite, you know, angry. So he had a gun holding it to the devotee. He said, "You're not a Santa. You're not a Santa," like this. And so then the devotee, Krishna gave him intelligence. So he opened the Bhagavad Gita. And then Krishna says, "Shanta." So he showed it to him and he said, "Look, it says Santa." He said, "Devotees are Santa." And the guy looked at it. He goes, "Okay." So he put it down. And then he pulled out $20 and he gave it to him. He said, "Okay, I'll take it." So you guys are Santas. Okay. Devotees are Santas. So, devotees are peaceful. We should be peaceful. Prabhupada wanted us to be peaceful. But it's a certain type of peace. It's not the false type of peace. It's the peace that you get when you fully surrender everything to Krishna. Then you feel completely satisfied. That's called Atma Nivedanam, or self-satisfaction. So that's what we're looking for in Krishna consciousness, ultimately. So we'll stop here, and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we have discussed.
First of all, thank you very much for such inspiring lectures between gun and $20. Very inspiring. You were talking about Lord Shiva and Krishna. Why Lord Shiva's devotees are open and Krishna are not? Because Lord Shiva just gives whatever you want without purifying him. Whereas Lord Krishna purifies you first and then takes over. The other thing, one day you were talking about Srila Prabhupada's glory. So Hans Dutta brought a lot of money for Srila Prabhupada and he said, "Here is some money for you. We have done hard work." So Prabhupada said, "How many hours did you work?" So he said, "About 20 hours, 21 hours. Srila Prabhupada said, "I work 24 hours. So we did it. So Srila Prabhupada is always in a very wonderful mood, preaching and taking all the troubles just to spare Krishna consciousness to all the world.
One man, he was a lawyer, he was speaking to Shivaram Swami. Shivaram Swami wrote his Vyasa Puja homage a few years ago. And he wrote in the homage, this lawyer who's dealing with him, and he said to Shivaram, so the lawyer was about 70 years old, which is about the age of Mahatma Prabhu. He's about 70 years old, so it's that age. And he said to Shivaram Swami, gave him the Prabhupada Lilamrita to read it. So he read the Prabhupada Lilamrita, and then he came back to Shivaram Swami, and he said, "You don't understand the glories of your guru." And Shivaram Swami, he thought, you know, he's only just read the Lilamrita, and he's telling me I don't understand the glories of, you know, I'm a guru myself, I'm Prabhupada's disciple, I've been Prabhupada's disciple for 40 years, you know. And he's telling me, "You don't understand." He said, "You don't understand the glories of your guru." He said, "Because you're not 70. So you can't understand what he did when he was 70. You know, I mean, imagine Mahatma Prabhu now, you know, going on a boat to New York with $8 and a trunk full of books to spread a worldwide movement. You know, we forget all these things. Prabhupada was 70 when he started this. You know, we're all young and we can't even do it. You know, what to speak of, you know, the age of Prabhupada was. So it's inconceivable. Unless you're Krishna's pure devotee, you can't actually do what Prabhupada did. It's not materially possible.
And strong faith is spiritual muscle. And strong faith is holy name, these two things. You could do wonders.
Any other question?
Krishna asked Arjuna to declare that his devotee now perishes. My question is any point by any of the acharyas to why Krishna himself didn't make that statement? Why did he ask Arjuna?
Prabhupada says that in the Gita, that's explained. It's because Krishna sometimes appears not to keep his promises. You know, because he said when he left Vrindavan, he said, I'll be back soon. Like that, and he didn't come back for a long time. So, there's apparently, Krishna appears not to keep his promises. So, it becomes more bound if someone like Arjuna says it, you declare it, Arjuna, and then I'm bound. Because this was like the Vedic culture. We don't understand it as much now, but to say, like in your family, in a Vedic situation, if your father or mother said something, then that's it, you would do it. Like that. Like they said, okay, this family or my boy takes a vow, then you always do it like that. So if the devotee says, in that context, if the devotee says that Krishna will never, then Krishna has to follow that. That's the Vedic culture, that's the Vedic situation. So. Is that okay? You want to add anything? Any other points?
You know, you say that in our house are like the elephants and they large than that, like tiger. But you know, like for a chicken, our house got the event protection 7 days. But like it takes so long, it just seems like maybe it's still doing it already. And then, like, how? Why does it take so long?
It doesn't have to take so long. Why does it take us so long to become Krishna conscious? It doesn't have to take so long. Prabhupada said you can become Krishna conscious in a moment. It's up to you. Whenever you become fully surrendered to Krishna, that's up to you. But we're attached to the anattas, that's why. This is called avidya. Avidya means ignorance. So basically, we've been in the material world for many lifetimes. So because we've been here for many lifetimes, we're heavily conditioned. So therefore, it takes time, and Prabhupada mentions this in many places in his purports. He says it's a gradual process of purification. So it takes time to become Krishna conscious. Yeah? We know what we want, and we're endeavouring to attain it, and gradually we are attaining it, gradually. But it takes time. You have to judge that yourself. Prabhupada says in the Krishna book, in around about chapter 30, he says, the sign of Krishna consciousness is that Krishna is becoming more in your heart and the material desires are becoming less in your heart. So then you know. Are the material desires becoming less or the material desires becoming more? So that's how you know. So only one person can judge that. Actually, two people can judge it. Because only two people know what goes on in your heart. One of them is God, and the other one is you. So, is that okay? Any other points?
Sometimes it looks like we're dealing with an anatta, and then it pops back again, and then we think we've dealt with it, and it's back 15 minutes and it's back. Is it that Krishna, okay, if there's our endeavor to actually surrender and get trying to become detached from that anatta, but is it the fact that only Krishna can literally uproot it? And if it keeps coming back, it's because we're just so contaminated and we haven't. How does that actually work?
Yeah, if you read Shrinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravanikita. These are the key verses of the entire Bhagavatam. These are the key verses, because from verse 12 to verse 20 in that second chapter, that's Shraddha Prema. So that's our entire philosophy in those verses. So Nashta Prayashva Bhadra, that's Nishta, that's removing the Anattas. Abhadrani means the Anattas. So if you read the purport and if you read the verse, Prabhupada explains it's Krishna who removes the Anattas. Krishna does it like that. But he can only do it when you want it done. So then why does it keep coming up? You know, why? It's like you've been a devotee for so many years and then, you know, you feel like you're overcoming a particular desire. And then that desire begins to become less. And then like 5 years later, suddenly it's back, and you think, oh, it's just as strong as it used to be. So why is that? It's because Krishna is testing you. Are you really over it or not? You think you're over it. You say you want to be over it, but are you really over it or not? I know sometimes, like, you know, when I go to Vrindavan and things, then, you know, you get very, you know, you do a lot of soul searching, and then you have conversations with Krishna, and then you say, okay, now I'm really serious. I really want to try now. You know, I really want to make some serious advancement. And then he says, really? And you say, yeah, I'm serious. And he says, okay. So then you go back to the West, and then it all just comes up again. He says, okay, overcome this. You know, if you say you're serious, overcome it. Like that. And then you realize, oh my God, yeah, it's like I haven't actually made as much progress as I thought. So these things will continue to happen. And Krishna is testing us. Do you want me or do you want this? Do you want me or do you want this? Do you want me? And it'll happen all the way to the time of death. Even at the time of death, it'll be there in our consciousness. Do you want me or do you want this? Mm-hmm. Right? You still want this? Okay, come back again. Mm-hmm. Like that. So that's the process of purification. So these things will keep coming up again. So then Rupa Goswami says, be enthusiastic, be patient and be determined. Like that. So as devotees, like we said, Krishna Chakravarti Thakur says you just have to charge on. And at the time of death, then we'll get some special mercy because we're doing so much service to spread the Sankirtan movement. So all that is not forgotten at the time of death. Krishna will remember everything that you did. He remembers every bit of service that you did. Krishna won't forget anything like that. Just give everything and then we'll be okay. Is it okay? Any other question? Come on.
About the ladies' question, one more comment you have told many times. Like unripe mango and ripe mango. So when we are unripe, then we haven't got much qualities. But when the mango becomes ripe, then it becomes pretty much. I remember another thing when we were talking about Vrindavan. One of my friends from Mauritius told me he bought a property in Vrindavan, and next day he wanted to go to Mangal Arati. And as soon as he got down from the house, lights went off, like in Vrindavan. So many times lights go off, so it completely pitch dark. So he didn't know how to reach the, he didn't know his way actually. And when the lights went off, he said, I'll go another day or in the morning or something. So immediately somebody came, a little boy, 5-year-old boy, said, Baba, where do you want to go? So I want to go to ISKCON temple. All right, I'll take you. Just follow me. So he went ahead, and as soon as the light came, he went off. So Krishna is there in the temple all the time. We can't see because we are not qualified. So this is the thing that what we are saying, purification is very much needed. Every year we should go at least once a year, as far as possible, to take bath in Yamuna or Ganga.
What is the question? What's the question?
How can we say that now I'm peaceful? What is the definition of
peaceful? Is when you feel peaceful.
I mean, as you also said, like you saw for who, then you thought like that life would be the peaceful life.
Yeah, but I haven't lived that life since I joined the movement. I've been very active since I joined the movement. but we feel happy and peaceful in our heart. Right? Even though we're active, but we're happy and we're peaceful. So you know what peace is. You experience it yourself.
But that will be different for everybody. If somebody likes some jobs, which is very
peaceful. Peaceful means peaceful. It means, you know, you just close your eyes and you feel peaceful. You feel happy like that. No one has to tell you what that is. That's what it is. No, it means being fully absorbed in Krishna's service. That's what makes one peaceful and happy. Yayatma supersedati. Bhagavatam says, when you're fully engaged in Krishna's service, then you feel peaceful, you feel happy. Like that. So we all know what that means. Arjuna was on the battlefield, right? But he was peaceful, he was happy, because he was fully serving Krishna. Like that. So we don't mind if we're on the battlefield or if we're in the holy dhan, then we're serving Krishna, we're happy. Same thing. Is that okay? Any other question? Comment? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah,
a few weeks. After a few weeks.